And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, and welcome to The Political Show right here on Active FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix, and with me in studio we have...
Gavin Enslin.
Pastor Gavin Enslin, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is...
Hot politics.
Hot politics, and this week's hot politics, it's going down in the... In Trump's administration. some of the headlines are quite interesting and stuff like that. But we are looking at the whole debacle. I don't know if to call it a debacle or the whole disagreement between Trump and Elon Musk in terms of the big, beautiful bill. And the fact that Elon Musk, quoting Elon Musk on X, said a disgusting abomination. Pascal, do you want to give a more brief explanation?
Okay. Obviously, Donald Trump has done a lot of executive orders to cut costs, but the issue is that the authorizers of the spending in the U.S. government are Congress. So the House of Representatives has to pass the bill in the Senate. And so there's what Trump has been touting as this what big, beautiful bill, which is being sold as a bill that that will basically cut costs and not cut costs, cut taxes. So it's going to cut taxes. One of the criticisms is not really going to cut the costs. So it's not going to cut government spending. Now, when you sit down and you look at that, then the question comes in, well, what is the point of that? Because that's what Trump ran on. That they're going to use the Department of Government Efficiency and that they're going to cut trillions out of the government spending. Am I wrong?
Mm-mm.
That's what he promised.
Yeah, that is exactly.
And now
what
they're passing this big, beautiful bill, and then they're saying no, they're first cutting the taxes so that they can grow the economy. No, you've got to cut the costs.
Mm.
So if you want to cut taxes, that's fine, but your problem is debt. You've got to cut the costs, and you've got to cut government spending. Now, what's happened on top of that is that, and this is now a typical trick that these people do, they have this bill and they sell it to the public as a government revenue and expenditure bill. So it's dealing with government revenue and expenditure, taxes and government services. And now there's a whole lot of other stuff in this bill. So the bill that should just be tabling a budget now has a whole lot of other things tagged onto it. And then what happens is that many of those items that are tagged on have got nothing to do with what are your tax rates going to be and what is the government authorized to spend.
Mm.
Okay, what they then tag onto it is things that have got nothing to do with it, and they change the law.
Mm.
So there are some things in this big, beautiful bill that Elon Musk is taking exception to. So that's what we're going to discuss.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting show, as always, because it's The Political Show, right here on Active FM. Radio has never been better, and Christ politics is...
hot politics.
Hot politics.
Stay updated and entertained with Active FM
on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Apple Podcast, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else.
Engage with us. Like the posts, comment, share them out, retweet and repost. Spread the word. Active FM. Radio has never been better.
So we are looking at the big, beautiful bill. We're looking at Elon Musk and we're looking at American President Donald Trump. Now, in 2024, when Elon Musk joined the Trump administration and stuff, there was a whole big thing and people were going crazy about it, depending on which side of the spectrum, use that word very carefully. Depending on which side you were on, you were either happy or you were not impressed and stuff like that. And obviously he then joined Dodge. He became head of Dodge, the Department of Government Efficiency. And the whole point of this was to cut waste, streamline bureaucracy, and basically fix America from the inside. And things like that. And obviously a role like that, you're not always going to make everyone happy. You're not always going to agree with everything that happens. So now, if you look at the headlines, it's quite crazy. So when we fast forward to today, basically what people are saying is that Elon Musk is torching one of Donald Trump's biggest legislative projects. And it's called the Big Beautiful Bill. All right. And this bill is massive, according to Donald Trump. It's a massive bill. And
because it's literally massive.
Yes.
When you print the thing out, it's a mess of papers.
And it's a sweeping package that promises tax cuts, infrastructure spending, military investment, but also proposes major cuts to health and energy programs. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that it could add anywhere from $2.5 to $5.1 trillion to national deficit over the next decade. And basically, Musk is not having that. And on X, he posted that the bill is a disgusting abomination. It's fiscal madness dressed up as populism. So what are your thoughts on that before we move on to
the
details?
Well, I think the title of the show, Elon Musk, the big beautiful bull is an abomination, in quotes.
Okay.
And, at the end of the day, let's just talk about what this bull's about. So one of the things that Elon Musk on Wednesday, I think it was, one of the posts he put on X, and he was actually reposting a post from the Wall Street MAF, I don't know if Wall Street Maverick or what that stands for, but it says there our annual US budget deficit is going to be over $2 trillion per year going forward. So it's already bad enough under Joe Biden, and Trump's actually going to make it worse. Now, I heard speeches of Donald Trump on the campaign trail, and he promised to cut government spending.
Yeah.
Now they're talking about increasing government spending. But for me, that is reneging on his campaign promise. And then it says, we pay over $100 billion per month in interest on national debt, $1.2 trillion per year. That is about 25% of all government revenue going to pay interest on debt. So just the interest on the debt is going to cost him 25% of all revenue that's taken in.
Mm.
So you take all the tax money from all Americans plus all the tariffs, all of these things, you add all those things up, all right, and you take 25% of all the money that they take in. That's just the interest payments. Elon Musk, when he reposted, said this: interest payments already consume 25% of all government revenue. So it's not government spending. It's 25% of the revenue, because spending, they take the revenue plus they borrow more. If the massive debt spending continues, there will only be money for interest payments and nothing else. No social security, no medical, no defense, nothing.
Sure.
And I mean, they've got figures on here that the U.S. national debt is 36,932,266,416,016. So after 36, it's 12 digits. That's 6 digits after the first digit. Well, the first 2 digits would be million. So that would be 36 million. So I don't know what you call it. I don't know if this is trillion or what. 36 trillion. So that's, and the debt per person is $107,000. The debt per taxpayer is $323,000. All right. The U.S. federal spending official is 7.1534633507.51 trillion. And the U.S. Federal budget deficit, official. So they're spending 7, and their deficit is 2.
Sure.
So every year on that 36 trillion, they're adding 2. And by the way, South Africa's also got a similar debt clock.
Yeah.
Now. But I mean, I think that's in the billions or the million. That's in the billions. I think it's 40 or 400 billion rand. I mean, this is $36 trillion.
Mm.
So you got to times by whatever rand you've got, times, you know, you got to times the dollars by 18 to get it into rand. So 36 trillion times 18 to get into rand, how much the US owes.
That's crazy. That would be a lot.
All right. Now, one of the things someone else said, I can't remember who it was now, that if you look at all the assets in the US has assets of about 300 or 400 trillion. So for them to pay this back is nothing.
Interesting.
Which, by the way, is quite similar to the fact our government's sitting with all this debt.
Mm.
But what about all the minerals?
Mm.
And there should be royalties, and the royalties should go to the citizens. And then the citizens are taxed when they receive out of that royalty, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, if your promise was to cut spending, why are you ballooning the deficit so much?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's going to balloon for two reasons. Number one, they're increasing spending overall. Number two, they're cutting revenue.
Yeah.
By cutting taxes. So, for every $7 they're going to earn, for every $7 they're going to spend, they're going to have to borrow $2.
Yeah.
That's a high percentage. That we're hitting now about 30%. 30% of what they're spending is going to be on debt.
Yeah, so obviously Elon Musk is concerned about the massive deficit spending. And I think he's also posted on X before where he's mentioned that you can't run a country like a Ponzi scheme. Eventually the debt collapse comes. Another thing that he is concerned about is the pork barrel politics. So he criticizes the bill for being stuffed with special interest pork, which is non-essential spending pushed in by lobbyists and political allies. He sees it as a betrayal of true conservative or libertarian principles and an example of how politics in Washington remains corrupt.
Yeah, but the other problem is not only the fact that it's unnecessary.
Mm.
How much of that pork barrel spending goes directly against the interests of the people?
Yeah.
And now we're not even talking about, you know, the parts of the budget that they say they've got to keep secret for national security. So now you're paying all of this tax money, and I want American citizens to think you're paying all of this tax money, and then there's a slush fund there that is secret that you don't know about, but it's your tax money that's going there.
That's going towards it.
And this is supposed to be a representative democracy.
Yeah.
Just to say, Rand Paul, Elon Musk also quoted him, because Donald Trump called Rand Paul, I think, was it on Tuesday, called him crazy.
Okay.
Because apparently this bill's not going to pass in the Senate. So Rand Paul said this: it's been pretty consistent in my time in the Senate. I oppose deficit spending. So in other words, whenever the spending results in a deficit between income and spending, then he says, I oppose deficit spending no matter which party is in charge. If we don't get serious about reining in the debt, the next generation will pay the price. Fiscal responsibility isn't a campaign slogan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a duty which I take very seriously.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Trump campaigned on this.
Yeah, he did.
He campaigned on this. So, and now on top of it, there's okay, I don't know if you're going to come into some of the other pork belly stuff that's in the bill.
No, you can speak on it.
So, I mean, there's provisions there for certain AI stuff.
Mm.
Okay, you know, both computer and medical. And the fact that you, as an American, will be able to be tested.
Mm.
They will be able to conduct this testing on you without your knowledge.
Which is a problem.
And removing all liability. You know, any problems that come as a result of that testing, which you didn't even consent to, is going to be waived.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Rand Paul's not even talking about this. And then we also got Geiger Capital, which says that 1 million seconds ago was May 23rd. 1 billion seconds ago was 1993. 1 trillion seconds ago was 30,000 BC.
Mm.
So if you want to understand the difference between a million seconds ago is May 23rd. Okay, and this was, this was posted, I think, on Tuesday. So from Tuesday this week, which is beginning of June, to May 23. A billion seconds ago from there was 1993. So now you see the difference between a million and a billion.
Mm.
So how much are you actually talking about? Because I think people have actually been desensitized to that.
Yeah.
And even in South Africa now, our budget is about 2 trillion a year.
Mm.
2 trillion rand, trillion, okay? A trillion seconds ago from June, what's it, 3rd or whatever, 4th, whatever it was.
Mm.
So from the 3rd or 4th of June, 2025. A trillion seconds ago is 30,000 BC.
Mm.
So as far as I'm concerned, because I'm a creationist, I believe that the Bible was created in 6 days, a little over 6,000 years ago. A trillion seconds means you're going back to what creation happened,
sure.
Before the time creation happened. In other words, you're talking about going back to before Genesis 1:1, where God said, in the beginning, there was God said, let there be light. So before that, let there be light moment. But 26,000 years before that. That's a trillion seconds ago.
Sure.
So now you start thinking in dollar terms, okay, or in currency terms. 36 times that.
Hmm. That's a lot.
I mean, a million's a lot. Eh?
Yeah.
For all of us, a million rand, $1 million, a million anything's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking 36 trillion. That's how much they owe.
Hmm. No, that is a problem. Now, going on to the whole thing with the AI and the concerns of the AI. So we obviously watched part of an episode of the Alex Jones Show, where he was joined by attorney Tom Renz, and they delved into...
Sorry, can I just mention, I don't know if you see this picture. I don't know if we can show this, but it says, Republicans getting ready to reduce the size of government. And, you know, if you look there, you see this tiny little scissors. Republicans getting used to, getting ready to, and that's Babylon B. So they got this tiny, tiny little pair of scissors, like tiny.
It's going to take forever to cut through.
The tips of the fingers, that's how big the scissors are.
That is funny. So on a recent show on the Alex Jones Show, we see an episode where he was joined by Tom Renz, and they delved into the whole artificial intelligence part of the bill, of the Big Beautiful Bill by Donald Trump. And their discussion centered around the concerns of the fact that the AI-related measures could pave the way for a technocratic future, potentially compromising individual freedom and state autonomy. And they obviously go through the whole thing of the federal preemption of state AI regulations, which was a point of contention in the bill's proposal to impose a 10-year federal moratorium on state-level AI regulations. This provision would prevent states from enacting their own AI oversight laws, effectively centralizing AI governance at the federal level.
But when I've read the U.S. Constitution, that can't be constitutional.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what people like Whitney Webb have been saying about Donald Trump, that he's beholden to the bankers, and this looks like a banker's bill to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, who's a lot of this overspending going to go to? Let's be honest, going to go to those bankers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. And then they basically argue that this move undermines state rights and could hinder timely responses to AI-related challenges. Also speaking about the fact that
why they're not speaking about whether it's unconstitutional or not? Because in America, under the American Constitution, the federal government cannot just write laws that inhibit the states.
Mm.
Because the actual seat of power in the US is the state.
Yeah.
So, for example, you get married under the state. The only thing where the federal government supersedes a state is when it comes to like things like national defense, so the US Army.
Hmm.
And what's now happened is that more and more they're trying to centralize. And I don't see how constitutionally you can centralize, you know, something like that. And for me, under the U.S. Constitution, any state can then pass a law and say, we reject this.
Mm.
That law has no jurisdiction here.
Mm.
And then to me, as I read the U.S. Constitution, under the U.S. Constitution, that law is no effect in that state.
Yeah, yeah. So that is a problem. Another thing is the AI, and we've spoken about this so many times, and I think Pastor touched on it a bit just now, but AI is a tool for surveillance and control. The fact that they're able to run tests through AI without the citizens knowing, that is surveillance, that is control. And why are they running tests without the citizens knowing? So that is a concern that they have. And Alex Jones expresses concern that the AI technologies could be employed as instruments of surveillance and control by both governmental and corporate entities. He suggests that AI systems might be used for monitoring individual activities, potentially infringing upon privacy rights. And we've been speaking about this for quite a while now, in terms of the plans that they have. If you read on the Internet of Things and you see what they're trying to do, what especially in the health industry and things like that, in terms of what they're trying to do with the Internet of Things. No, is it Internet of Things or Internet of Bodies?
Internet of Things and then Internet of Bodies. Where?
Yes, the Internet of Bodies is where they're trying to get into the health industry. And
no, it's not just that.
Yes,
that your body... Your body will be connected to the internet. You'll become like a modem, in other words.
But they are testing it now with all of these medical
And they'll systems. Be able to test it without you knowing.
Yes, and that is a problem. That is
Donald
what
Trump.
They are.
I thought this is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I thought this is what they were going to do, and Bill Clinton. Because they would for sure do this stuff.
Yeah.
But this is why we say now, and this is why I don't trust Donald Trump. And I haven't trusted him since... He did the what did they call it? You know, when they created Operation Warp Speed in 2020. You know, with the vaccine. And you know, I was speaking to my wife about it this week, and she said, "Yeah, but isn't it that Donald Trump had the wrong people advising him?" I said, "No, that's nonsense. Well, that's a convenient excuse. If you're in that position, it's your job to know. And you know, now he's pushing for this bill." The same as he's never ever taken back not only his endorsement but the enablement and the I don't know how many billion dollars that went into the development of the COVID vaccines.
Yeah.
He's never ever walked that back.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the other thing that links with this is the whole transhumanism and the merging of humans with machines. The discussion also touches upon the concepts of transhumanism. We did speak about it when we did that series focusing on the fourth industrial revolution and the integration of technology with human body and mind. I mean, there's a lot of movies that are coming out now about this whole transhumanism
It's not a new thing.
No, it's not.
Those movies have been coming out a while.
Yes, yes. And Alex Jones warns that advancement in AI and related technologies could lead to scenarios where human cognition and autonomy are compromised, raising ethical and existential questions about the future of humanity.
Now what I'll tell you now, and as I look at Elon Musk's page, so he's pushing back on this bill.
Yeah.
But the reality also is if you look at his page, next thing is touting Tesla's driverless taxis.
Yeah.
Okay, which are going to sort of, the taxi is going to be a robot, you know, a driverless vehicle. He I don't know what's happened with that, but the whole Neuralink thing where they.
I haven't heard of it for a while.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about it for a while.
But then you add Starlink. Talk about a surveillance network. How are you going to get away from that one?
Yeah.
Okay. So. You know, even in terms of Elon himself, this is why I don't trust him either. Because while I agree with what he's saying on this big, beautiful bill, he's also promoting, you know, driverless cars. And I don't know how many people are okay with driverless cars, because you get into a car, you know, even if you get into a bus or a minibus taxi here in South Africa, and then you see there's no driver, the bus is driving itself. I'm not okay with it.
Nope.
Yeah, but there'll be less accidents. Even so, I'm not okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, if that bus is going too strong, too fast, I can go out there, driver, say, slow down, I'm going to blow your brains out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can threaten the driver. If it's you know, if it's being controlled by AI, who do you threaten?
Yeah. So that is one of the concerns that they have. Also, I think it lines up.
No, I Musk
have. That we all have. A lot of people have. And stuff. And one of the other things is that Musk expresses concern that AI could evolve to hold values contrary to human well-being. He warns that without careful guidance, AI might prioritize objectives misaligned with human interests, leading to scenarios where AI actions could inadvertently harm humanity. Yeah. But again, going back to what you've just mentioned, if you knew Elon Musk from years ago, he was anti-AI. He didn't stand for AI and what AI was. But over a course of a few years, he then started the whole Neuralink project and started advocating for AI. So even his stance now on this whole unregulated AI development or the things that the bull is speaking about also now raises the question, why is he pushing back and for what? Because it's not like he stands against AI. So what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. What I'm saying is, I don't know that he's bad.
Yeah.
And if I look at what he's done with X, it's a very good thing. And because X is free, and it's pretty much allowing, you know, most things to be said, there is still some censorship going on.
Yeah.
Look at how much more informed people have become.
Yeah.
So he's doing good stuff. In terms of this bill, he's saying good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Look, my perspective.
He might still turn out to be a good act.
Yeah. So my perspective on this is, this is my own opinion. So don't hold me to my opinion. You know.
Well, I gave you my opinion as well when I said I don't know.
Is that
that you can try and sue me? You know, in the position that he's in,
he can't always agree with Trump. Because then at some point people are going to start questioning why is he always in agreement with Trump. Because now if you look at media and what everyone is writing about this scenario, they're calling it a rebellion. They're saying that is this the end of Musk's association with Donald Trump and things, which I don't think it is. But I also...
Are you saying it's a show?
Not that it's a show, but then if he's... There's twofold. It could be. I don't know. It could be.
I can't say it's not a show.
I can't say it's not. I can't say it is. But then also, if he's doing his job well, he's not always going to be in agreement with Donald Trump and the things that he's passing. And I think the media is trying to bring down the Trump administration or bring down Dodge to make it seem as if...
Hold on a second.
To make it seem as if...
Geeks, wait a second.
Just wait. As if... There's a rebellion happening in the Dodge administration.
Okay. Yeah.
That is my opinion.
Yeah, what you're saying. But yes. The issue is there are major problems in this bill.
No, there are. No, I totally believe that there are major problems.
And if you look at why Elon Musk got on the campaign trail, okay, this smacks of a betrayal. And I think...
Trump to Elon Musk.
Yeah, because he went also promising with Trump. And I mean, this was a standard promise of Trump's.
Mm.
We're going to cut. And one of the things that Elon Musk tweeted...
Yeah.
Or retweeted is a guy, Matt Van Swell, who said, okay, let me just get this straight. The GOP, which is the Republican Party, are out there spending millions on luxury hotels in Ukraine. That's Lindsey Graham and them. The senator not voting on any Dodge cuts, spending 60% of their time on vacation, not codifying executive orders. So in other words, the executive orders that Trump has written, not passing them into law. Because if Trump just makes executive orders, the next president comes and does what Trump does on day one, he just revokes them. Is this the major reform the American people voted for? And then Trump retweeted this saying, in November next year, we'll fire all the politicians who betrayed the American people. And this bill is a massive betrayal.
Yeah.
I watched the campaign. And the Republicans are looking like South African politicians.
Mm.
I'm going to say the Republicans are like the DIA, the Democratic Alliance in South Africa. The Democratic Alliance ran against the Bella Bill.
Mm.
When Ramaphosa put it in, they're not against that bill. I mean, yeah. I know they said no, but we've got the Minister of Education and they can write regulations. We can make sure. No, but that's the same as the stuff with Trump.
Yeah.
The next Minister of Education can come in and just change those regulations.
Yeah.
The same with the NHR bill. They allowed it in.
Yeah.
Okay, and they had mechanisms. They had legal mechanisms within the parliamentary framework to stop that stuff.
Mm.
They could have, like they did with the budget. And that's why Mletsi Mbeki said, for example, yeah, in South Africa, the whole budget standoff on the 2% VAT increase is showboating.
Mm.
Okay, all it was a show.
Mm.
And that's what these Republican representatives have done.
Yeah.
They've gone, made all of these promises, and they're doing exactly what the Democrats would do. And remember, how many times have I said, yeah, in South Africa, you vote in the DA, you're going to have the ANC policies. They have the same policies. And it's the same with the Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I'm just saying that the way that, the media outlets, I'm putting it as if there's this rebellion that is happening. I don't think that it's that case. It's either Elon Musk is really doing his job and he's sticking to what he said the Dodge was going to stand for. And stuff, or it could be a possible rebellion, but yeah, so that's basically where now, I stand with the rebellion.
The rebellion is Trump,
yeah.
If it's a rebellion, then the rebellion is Trump because Trump made the promises.
Mm.
That's the bottom line. He made promises that they're going to cut these things, and he's going back on that. And what I would just like to say, I mean, to me, it was quite sudden. That all of a sudden Elon Musk is stepping down from his role.
Mm.
And now that this has happened in this last week, I think he stepped down because of this.
Mm.
So, you know, if you're in government and you step down, that is what you do when you do not agree with the policies that the government's following. So, for example, I'll just give one more example of where this is happening. And if the Democratic Alliance was serious, all right, when Ramaphosa signed the NHR, National Health Insurance, or the Bella Act, or the Expropriation Without Compensation Act,
mm.
if the DA was serious, they would have collapsed the government of national unity.
Yeah.
Now, there's a guy named Geert Wilders in the Netherlands. His party won the biggest share of the vote in the Netherlands. And so eventually their party was part of a coalition.
Mm.
And they were promised, you know, that certain things would happen and all of this. And now it's a number of months after.
Mm.
And Wilders a week or two ago started threatening the other parties, I'm going to collapse this government.
Mm.
And it happened on Tuesday, I think it was. And he actually said that if they don't change and start doing something, and what he was talking about is the unfettered increase or entry of illegal migrants into Holland.
Mm.
And he's saying instead of stopping the flow, they're building more asylum centers. And so on Tuesday, he collapsed the Dutch government.
Mm.
Now, if you are one of these GOP representatives, then you should be doing what Rand Paul's doing. And there's four senators who look like they're going to stop this bill.
Mm.
One of them being Rand Paul.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight."
What I'd like to say in terms of this is two things. The first is, when you trust people, you cannot trust the human heart. You cannot trust your own heart. You cannot trust the heart of anyone else. That's why systems are built up based on the Bible's rendition of what people are like. What happened was they built up systems of checks and balances where no one person can have all the power. And it's precisely for this reason. Many people thought Trump is going to save America. Jesus is the savior of America. Many people, when Cyril Ramaphosa first became the president of South Africa, thought he was going to save South Africa. But the reality is, okay, only Jesus is the savior of South Africa.
Amen.
And so you need to trust in the Lord. But the other thing I want to say to you, you know, if you're a leader and you campaign and people vote for you based on what you campaigned, and then you don't do what you campaigned for, I believe you're going to stand before God one day. I just want you to think about that. You're going to stand before God and you're going to answer to Him for what you have or haven't done. And so if you're a politician, you know, you need to remember that people voted for your manifesto. People voted for your platform. People voted for what you campaigned on. If you now get into power and you don't do that, don't come with excuses. There's a problem, and I believe you're going to answer towards God because you got people to vote for you on a false premise.
Yeah.
So you also need to understand that, you know, you need to have a fear of the Lord, and a fear of the Lord, even if it's hard, even if it's tough, but to go through and do what the voters have asked you to do. Because what do we have in the democratic world around the world right now? Politicians promise and they don't do what they promised. And you're going to face God. But the other thing is, ladies and gentlemen, don't put your hope in a vote.
Yeah.
Because it's been a long time since I've seen a politician anywhere in the world that has lived up to their promises, done what they promised to do, and where the people haven't been let down.
Yeah. Yeah. This has been an amazing show, as always. So let us know your thoughts on the comments below. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Is there rebellion happening? Let us know your thoughts and opinions. And if there's anything specific that you'd like us to speak about, just comment down below. But I'm your girl, Cynthia, and you know you can call me Gix right here on The Political Show. On Active FM, radio has never been better. And with me in studio, we've had
Gavin Inslin.
Pastor Gavin Inslin. Again, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics.
We help distributors grow their sales by over 15% in the first 90 days with our automated mobile software solution. RapidTrade is used by over 16,000 users worldwide, and we process over 120,000 transactions per day on both iOS and Android. From app ordering and management to e-commerce and even van sales, or electronic proof of delivery, we've got your business covered. Call us for a demo on 011-493-9755 or email us at sales@rapidtrade.com. Go on, make your customer a happy one today by getting onto RapidTrade.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.